There is a word in our English language that I grew up with. It is a word that I use quite a bit. As a teenager, I would just use that word. And in using that word, it always gave me a way out of whatever the situation was. That word is habit. Now, let me again give you the definition of habit. Habit is an unconscious act performed due to frequent repetition. An unconscious act performed. Now, do you see anywhere in Scripture where you and I are supposed to perform unconscious acts? I mean, I've met a lot of folk in congregations that are unconscious during the whole sermon. That's an unconscious act. What happens with habit? Well, I'm in the habit of reading my Bible. Get in the discipline, the holy discipline of reading the Word of God. When we do away with our little terms that get us out of a bad, well, it was just a bad habit. I got to work on that habit. You got to work on you. You, not the habit. And God says to us, I want you to understand how much that I love you. I am going to come in the human form as my own son. Now, I'm coming to show you what it's like to have contact with me. I'm your creator. I knew what you were going to be before you were born, before you were ever conceived. I knew all about you, and therefore, I laid out a path for you that only you will be able to walk on. You see, I cannot walk on the path of my Christian brothers and sisters. I cannot ride in on the coattail of my parents or any other of the elder Christians who were within my life. There's only a name. It's not a coattail. It's a name. Jesus. How'd you get here, Larry? Talk to Jesus. Well, what do you think about the good habits that you performed on earth? I don't know of any habits that are good, because that simply is saying I'm unconscious at the time that I'm doing it. In the court system that I've been a part of for so many years, everybody wanted to claim insanity. Many still do. Many are. But let me tell you, God says to you and me, I am your great physician. And folks, when I say that, do not go off half crazy and say, well, Brother Larry said, get off the medication. I don't know what medication you're on, but I can pretty well believe this, that there's not many pills that I could ask for in our congregation that somebody doesn't have one to spare. See what I mean? Okay, God says, I'm going to send you doctors. The Lord, when he sent the doctors, asked Dr. Luke about this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Luke was a doctor, physician. Now you know why the disciples, everyone loved hanging around Mark, don't you? Listen to it this way. I have placed in you, Mark, the wisdom of the human body. When you and I cease the discipline that God has called us to just go by, well, you know, I was lucky. Luck has nothing to do with a Christian. I'm blessed. You're blessed. I'm blessed to breathe. And some of you have told me how blessed I am to even know you. And I do appreciate that. God said, I love you. And then we come up with, I need a do-over. Well, if I could think of that differently, I'd say you need a do-inner instead of a do-over. You know, I just need, Lord, I've come to you turning over another leaf, and you've heard me for 22 years here. Probably heard me too long. For 22 years. That every time you'll turn over a leaf on your own, you've got volumes up on a shelf somewhere because you cannot do it on your own. A do-over is all focused on our attitude. What attitude do I have? What is my attitude to want to do the will of God? What must I do as a human being? We are sinful human beings created in the image of God, saved by the Son of God, led by God's Holy Spirit, and we claim the blood of Jesus as entry to His kingdom, our home. I got a home there. All of you invited. It is a home that Jesus said, I'm going to go prepare it for you. I do not know what that means. And if you've got somebody that's telling you they know what that means, you stay away from them. I can only relate. I can only understand with my feeble mind. But my spirit cries out, there's a home for you in glory. And we sing it, and it outshines the sun. First attitude we need to look at is our attitude about suffering. Now, Christians, but we're going to have to quit being such big sissies. That's a fact. Well, you know, Lord, but I serve you and I walk with you and I'm called by you and I'm trying to do what you've called me to do. And we whine and we moan and we groan. Obvious they weren't Marines. But God looks to the heart. I want you to look at your attitude about suffering. Listen to 1 Peter 4, 1 through 3. Now, Peter, this letter is sent out to all the Christians in Asia Minor. I mean, this letter that Peter is writing is to not only the Christians, but now hear me on this one, but it's written to the elect that are yet to be elect. Huh. It's written. God says it's through my election. And I know the Christians that are going to come. As a matter of fact, that roughest, honorest human being that you know them because, Christian, I've led you to their personality, and it's up to you now. I'm giving you the opportunity to share in the salvation message that I want them to hear from you. We are all agents as Christians of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I do not have a right to change it. I don't have a right to make someone feel good because of what it says. I have an obligation to watch my attitude. And because it's hurting me to do it, I need to get over it. 1 Peter 4, 1, verses 1 through 3, but verse 1. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude He had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. The attitude. The attitude God tells us about our human existence. As a human being, I have cancer, Agent Orange. I got stuff going on in me that even the doctors don't know what's going on in me. So do you. And Brother Randy always talks to computers. Don't ever have a computer geek that, you know, talks to computers. And he's told me for many years, they're possessed, Larry. I'm telling you, if there's any. And God says, talk to me. I have a message for you. Do you know that God has a direct message just for you. But it's in our attitude. Oh, I'm suffering, Lord. I hurt so bad. Lord, during this period of time, give us the strength to go on. Let us grin with the spirit that only you can give us. Let us laugh in the face of death. Let us promote your love in all that goes on. Thank you, Lord, for the next beating the world wants to give me. Thank you, Lord, that any of us might be found worthy to suffer for Jesus. Oh, folks, looking at the Christians throughout the world that are being slaughtered because they refuse to renounce or recant their faith in Jesus Christ. They're being beheaded, tortured, watching their families slaughtered, and yet we know that they refused to curse the name of Jesus. And in America today, we are cowering back in the pews of our churches. I don't want to offend anyone. Well, folks, I do not want to offend God. I do not want to bring an offense against Jesus. I want to tell you how much He loves you. I want to tell you how much He wants to forgive you. I want you to understand that within your heart there's a melody playing, and that melody is from Jesus. Holy Spirit singing your song. And we need to understand that we have a calling to discipline ourselves. Pay attention to what Jesus went through. Did He ever curse His Father? No, but you know what He did do? I can hear it. My God! My God! Daddy! Daddy! Why have you forsaken me? He took my punishment, your punishment, of never being able to go in the presence of God the Father because sin, my sin, your sin, He took on that. The cross could never enter the kingdom of God. There had to be a sacrifice. And Jesus says, I'm doing this for you, Larry Pete. And He calls us by name. I have no idea what the name I will be going by in heaven. I know I have a name, a new name. I hope it's not Hardhead, because there would be nothing in heaven but Hardheads. You and I are responsible for our individual actions. We're living in a society that blames everything that goes wrong on somebody else. Politicians are ripe with this. And you know, I used to think all the time they went in and out of prisons as chaplains, you know, go home and I'd take two or three showers. Sometimes I would change shirts a couple of times a day, check with my wife on that one. Think about it. Now, I listen to governments and politicians speak, and I want to go take a shower. Or I want to get back to jail where it's clean. It's a society in which we're living. So, you and I have been sick. So, you and I are sick. So, you and I are hurting. Have you ever really read the story on Jesus and what He went through during that crucifixion? Think of it. The second attitude I want us to look at is the attitude for the will of God. Now, I've studied the will of God. You studied the will of God. We see it throughout the Scripture. This is my will. This is my will. But we have trouble with our attitude when it comes to us being for the will of God. Now, Lord, here's what I'm needing. Now, you tell me what your will is on how that I will be able to acquire this. You let me know what your will is, and I'll let you know whether I can do your will. That's lazy Christians. Praise the Lord on Sunday and raise hell the rest of the week. The Lord says, what's your attitude? Have an attitude for my will. Verse 2 of 1 Peter 4. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires. That's when you're finished with the sin, when you have the attitude about suffering. When you accept that, you won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You know, you and I are not the first ones to tell God what we think His will should be when we pray for someone to live. Sometimes we'll leave out the last part of the prayer, nevertheless, let your will be done, not mine. Because, Lord, I know, but we need them more down here. I will never assume that I know more than God. Christians, when you and I leave this body, it is a time of rejoicing. Rejoice for that loved one. Cry, yes. Weep. Mourn, yes, because of their absence of the presence. But rejoice in the fact that you're going to see them real soon. And God said, pay attention. Watch that attitude. And in watching that attitude, pay attention to my will for your life. Lord, I don't know how to find out your will for my life. Do you have any abilities? Special gifts that you've noticed pop out ever so often, especially when you make a little money with them? Have you ever thought about asking God? If I'm going to focus on God's will, I learned a long time ago, you want a good drink of water, you go to the head of the stream. You do not go downstream from the cows, ever. You go to the head of the stream. So if I'm wanting to understand more the will of God within my life, does it not make just basic sense for me to go directly to the head of the stream? Jesus said, when I died on that cross, I promise you, you go directly to my Father now in prayer. Recognize that you can talk to my Father through the blood that I shed for you. Recognize that I happen to be the conduit from you to my Father. And whatever you ask, He will give you. Oh, wait a minute. Whatever you ask in my name. Jesus said He only did the will of the Father. So what I'm asking for, how will I know whether it's God's will? Great book if you haven't read it. It's called a Bible. Get in it, start turning the pages, start reading. And if you've never read it before, I want you to start with the Gospel of John. You read the Gospel of John, the first book you'll read in the Bible, period. And thirdly, on our attitude, it needs to be an attitude against our godless nature. Now, I know we don't like to hear this, but not everything godly goes through this mind. You agree with me? Ever so often, like every second or so, evil passes through. Well, what do I do about it? Well, it's just like a bird. You cannot keep a bird from flying over your head. But you can keep the bird from building a nest in your hair. Think of the love that only God says. And He says, I'm going to give you the right attitude. I want you to have an attitude against yourself. Oh, Father, that means I can't blame my wife. That means I can't blame somebody else. That means that I can't even blame Satan himself. That's right. I thought the Lord said that He conquered Satan. I thought He also told us and reminded us that all He wants us to do is for us to stand against, and most of the time it's us standing against self, for us to turn and walk away from the temptation. Said, I'll give you a way out. Sometimes we don't want a way out. Sometimes we want to wallow in the hog pen. And then our whole life is focusing on building an attitude against our godless nature. Verse 3, you have had enough in the past. Now listen to Peter's talking to Christians, Jewish ones, you know, everybody throughout, even those who are to become a Christian. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy. Their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. One of the greatest sins you will find that we fall prey to is idol worship. I don't worship an idol, really. What is most important to you in your life? Is it the Word of God? Is it the hope of the coming Christ? What's most important to you? If you're having a hard time figuring it out, let me tell you the first place to look. Look in your checkbook. What do I spend on fun? What do I give for fact? I must have an attitude that Almighty God has given me to stand against idolatry, which is putting anything before I put Christ. Now, parents, listen. I know what we say. Oh, I just love that child. But please do not say, I worship the ground that child walks on. Don't. A child is lent to you by God. That child that God has given you is His gift. You watch a child grow. That's why I love being around kids. Adults drive me nuts anymore. I'd rather be in the children's department. They're listening to every word. They're looking for every hope. They're looking at the parents wondering, are they going to act like they heard what I heard this morning in children's church? What's going through the mind of the Christian is destroying Christianity in our own nation. You will never kill Christ. They will never kill Christ. Folks, it is not the outside world that can change us. It's when Christians refuse to take on an attitude of Christ. And even though it means a life, what good is this life if I don't have Jesus? What good is this life if I don't have the hope that only He can give? Salvation is not in our physical strength. It's in Jesus's physical weakness. His body could not handle the torture. I'll leave you with this. You and I, when we hurt and we have the brokenness physically, we think nobody in the world has felt the pain like we're feeling. Now I want you to focus your mind to the cross of Jesus. You see, Jesus Christ did not just have to carry that cross, that burden. When He fell, He was telling us something. In the human body, you're going to need help, one another. Each one united together to lift that cross. He gave us that message. But something we truly overlook is this. Yes, personally He suffered such horrible death. The Scripture says that He wasn't even recognized as a human. People had to turn their heads away. That's a beating, huh? But when Jesus went to the cross, that meant of all the multi-billions or multiplicity of personalities, He suffered my punishment, your punishment. Meaning, He died for an innumerable amount of individuals by taking our pain on himself. It killed him. So Satan thought, what a surprise, because Sunday came and God came looking for his son. When God comes looking for his son, will he find him in your heart and mine? Will he find pride of our own heart? Or will he find his son? Be careful, because he's the one that said, and my judgment will begin at the house of the Lord. First place he's coming is to church. Interesting. We hear the word of God, but we're given the free will. Accept it, reject him. But even in the rejection, he still loves you. Let's pray. Father, help us with our attitude. Our attitude spiritually. The attitude you want us to have. Oh, Father, we're broken and we know it. But you've given us a life to live and you've blessed us in this life. When you call upon us, you expect us to be about your business as you have blessed us so mightily with the greatest nation that has ever been known. Help us, Father. Protect us from ourselves. Give us the courage to stand strong. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.